But we've been going through the last few weeks, Life Walk Sermon Series. In the first week, let's do a quick review just to bring you up to speed. The first week was how we live, and we talked about God being the life giver and sustainer of us, right? He's our source of life and our sustainer of life. We talked about that in the first week. And then we talked about how should we live. The question, how do we do it? We talked about recognizing God and being reverent to his commands and obeying them. We talked about recognizing the good things that we have in life, the things that we should be doing, and then doing them. You know, we recognize good, but we don't do it sometimes. We talked about recognize the good and go out and do it. That was the first week. And we gave you practical keys of how to do that, because this sermon series is called Practical Living, Life Walk, just practical things of how to walk and live for God and go about your day. In the second week, we talked about how we walk with God, life walk. We talked about the life. We talked about walking in God. We talked about Enoch and how he faithfully walked with God. We talked about how that meant dedication, commitment on our part to do something. And what that is we have to walk in relationship with God, having a relationship. Relationship meaning we spend time with him. However you do that, in prayer, church, worship, however you dedicate your life to do that, and you stay obedient to his word. And we gave you practical keys or, you know, things about how you do that, very practical things of how you can walk with God better. And then we moved into last week of how we overcome those things in our life that maybe keep us from living and walking with God better. And we talked about how to overcome those things last week, if you were here. We talked about how to go from being an overcoming personality to an overcomer. Some people live a life of just overcoming all these obstacles in their life, but never get victory to where they become an overcomer and they're just able to navigate the challenges of life and not staying in this perpetual state of being an overcoming person. You follow me? We talked about that last week. And those were the 3 weeks. Today we're moving into why we love. And it's a lot different because now I'm going to transition from how we will live, how we walk, how we overcome, to why we love. Not how we love, but why we do it. This is a really friendly church. Every person that comes in there says, wow, Pastor, that's a really friendly bunch, and we are, because we just love on people. But why do we do that? And I want to go to the church website and read you a few things that we have out there. And if you haven't read them, I'm going to read them to you because I want to make sure that you know them, because we're going to be talking about them a lot in the weeks to come, part of the core of who we are, what we believe. But on our church website at calvarylife.church, it says, who are we? What does this body do? And I want to read to you who we are. Our purpose is to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, that they may begin to live a better story with power, passion, and purpose. That's our mission. That's who we are. That's what we're here to do. We're here to help people live a better story. What's that mean? Live a better life. Live a better life. Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. Our purpose here at Calvary Church is to do no different. It is through the gospel of Jesus that we have life. So we aim to share that life-giving message with as many people as possible and then grow together as the body of Christ here at Calvary Church to become fully devoted to our Lord and Savior. So how do we do that? What's the action statement to that? Remember, reach, ready, release. Our action statements here at this church are reach people, and our scripture is Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So we believe we go out and we reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus Christ to help them live a better story. That's what we're doing. Then we ready the people. That's why we have learning classes. That's why we have Calvary Church and Calvary Kids Church and study courses. That's why we're launching life groups, because we want to ready people. That's our call to action. And the scriptures in John 8:31, it says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And guess what? The truth shall set you free. So here at this church, we want to bring people in and let them see that there's a better story to live than the story they may be living. The call to action is then to teach them not what my opinions are or my perspectives or yours, but what the Bible says. This church is a full gospel church. If the Bible says it, we believe it. You know, some of those things that we don't understand, we study. We dive deeper. And that's the ready part that we want to help people do. We want to ready them. And then what's the third call to action? We release them. We send them back out in the community and do exactly what Matthew 28:19 says. It says, therefore, then go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. There's the word obey again. If you remember the Life Walk series, the very first week, part of the life of living for Jesus is to obey. Obey everything I have commanded you, and then surely I'll be with you forever. So that's our call to action here at Calvary Church. And then I'm going to just finish up talking about the things on the website with the core of who we are as a body of believers. Who are we here? There's the purpose, there's the call to action, but here's who we are as a core. We live by faith and not by sight. Boy, is that a biblical concept, right? We just believe in living by faith and not by sight. The second thing is, we are family. Those people that come into our church become part of our family. We love them. We honor them. We help them through life. When they hurt, we hurt, right? That's the family of God here at Calvary Church. The third thing is the core of who we are is we are givers, not takers. We believe that we need to help people, give to people, help people move forward and not take. We're not takers. We're givers. What a concept, right? The next thing is we value new beginnings. I don't think there's a church that I have pastored or been in that values new beginnings more than this. We have gone from where we are to where God's taking us through this transformation process, renovations, new ministries, new kids' church, all these things. Why? We value new seasons in God. We don't sit back and say, this is what God did this 20 years ago, so I guess there's no more place to go. No, we believe that there is a new season, because the Bible says there is, new things, new seasons, new things to move forward on, and that's exactly what we believe here. We also have a core that we value the younger generation. We love our kids. We have kids in a small church. We have a bunch of kids. That's why we have a children's pastor. That's why Pastor Ashley has so many in children's church a lot. That's why we're going to have Calvary's Kids Day next week, because we value the younger generation. The Church of Jesus Christ is one generation away from being extinct. So we value that younger generation. And then the last one, which is probably my favorite, really, it says we'll do whatever it takes. New and creative ways to get the message out. I'm going to sing up here one day when something happens in our church, and you know exactly what that is. I'm going to sing a song, and I can't sing, and you know I can't sing. My wife's got the gift of singing, but I'm going to give it a shot when this church hits 100 on a Sunday morning, and we're close. Without being a special service, uh-oh, now I'm in big trouble. The Remlingers start walking in, and you know there's so many of them, I might be singing today. But we're moving through this. That's what's on the website. Read about that so you remember and know and concentrate on who we are and what we believe and what our call to action is. And one of those call to actions throughout there is this message about love. That's at the core of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I don't think I could have ended the Life Walk sermon series and God spoke to me and says, you've got to end on love. Not just how we do it, but why we do it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to go to Galatians 5:6. And Paul writes, and he says, the only thing that counts is faith expressed itself through love. Well, that's a powerful statement, church. The only thing that matters, the only thing that counts, is the foundation of love. You can have everything, you think, in your Christian walk, but without love, you have nothing. And we're going to talk about that even more so here. Love is the foundation which everything relies. If you want a quote, everything is built on the foundation of love. right? 1 John 2:9 says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or hates his sister is what? Still in darkness. And you know, it's unfortunate that in ministry you see people like that. You and I both, we run across people that, you know, they just are void of that kind of love. And they're always offended by something, or they have situations. And, you know, it's really a challenge because, you know, we want to take them back to why we're here and what we believe. And we have to love one another. I remember when my wife and I first got here a year or so ago, and we would have a small meet and greet. You know, it took me 10 minutes to rein everybody in. Because we would go out throughout the service to talk and shake hands with everybody, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I had a tough time. It was like back in classes or something, back in high school or junior high, whatever, when they let the kids run wild, and we couldn't get them back in, you know. We couldn't rein them in because we love one another. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister still is in darkness. And then I find a statistic that really kind of rattled me. The number one reason why people leave churches today. I was offended. Nobody loves me. You know, no one should ever walk out the door saying I'm unloved from any church of God, right? No one should ever feel that they're not loved. You may not agree with somebody. You may not have the same perspectives or opinions, but nobody should leave a church because they feel unloved and they feel offended. That should never happen in God's house, right? And I know we're not doing that here. I'm just saying that's what the statistics show, and that kind of grieves my heart. I'm sure many hearts of pastors and parishioners like yourself, that people would actually depart. I know people this day that don't attend church because they said they were offended and no one loved them. That's why they don't go to church. And, you know, you try to explain to them that that's not God. That's people. And people will hurt you and offend you because we're imperfect. But God is not like that, right? That is not God. So the big question is, why? You know, in 1 John 4:19, why is the answer? We love because he first loved us. We love because God first loved us. But I'm going to tell you something, church. Here's a struggle I have, a little bit, is why? Why did God first love me? Why? I'm no prize. That amen was not necessary. She didn't say amen. My wife's in the front row. She's hard of hearing, so she has to stay in front. Yeah. But that's the most profound question you hear today that no human can sufficiently answer. It is a question that I get all the time. It's a question that's in the coffee shop. Why does God love? I'm not super lovable. Society's not super lovable. We're kind of imperfect people. We've not done the right things. If there's this God, why? And then you get, well, you know, why does he let all this stuff happen? If he's so loving, why does all this stuff happen? Those are big questions. If God loved me so much, why did I lose my job? If God loved me so much, why did my wife or my husband leave me? If God loves me so much, fill in the blanks. Big questions. And I don't know if we really have the answers. And sometimes I just have to ask myself as a pastor, boy, I know my faults. Why does he love me unconditionally? Why do I get all this grace poured on me for every mistake that I made? Why? Boy, there's answers there. We're not the most lovable. We don't deserve it. If anything, the opposite's true. We don't deserve it, but we still get it. And sometimes we just don't see it because we don't feel it. Since the fall of man, we have been rebellious. We have been disobedient. We have not been the good children. Jeremiah 17:9 describes this condition. It says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond a cure. Who can understand that? That's a powerful statement. It is beyond a cure by the natural man. It's beyond. Our innermost being is so corrupted we don't even realize the extent of us being corrupted. You know, you meet people that are so far gone, they don't realize that they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. They don't realize when really God's reaching out for them in love and through his people and all those things. And there's a lifeline, but they don't grab on because they don't understand. That's why they take a step of faith at some point in their life. You know, they take a step of faith and they reach out because they have nowhere else to go. And if there's not somebody there like you and I to love them, then they have really no place to go. They reach to some place that's very unloving. Drugs, alcohol, you name it. Sexual sin, whatever. In this natural state, we don't seek God. We don't love God. And we don't desire God. So why do we love? We've got to reach somebody because that's the state they're in. But they don't understand that's the state they're in. But you and I that are in Christ Jesus today, we understand the state that they're in because we were in that state at one point. And boy, is there a big valley there of understanding. There's a huge chasm between them and us, and they don't understand. And we want to reach them in love because if not, you got to do it. You know, they don't want, you understand. Romans 3:10, listen to this. It says, it is written, there is no one righteous, not one. There is no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. That's the state of the unregenerated person. That's the state of where you and I lived at one point in our lives. That's the state that you may be sitting in here today. And God calls us to love each other and love the person that's unregenerated or not connected to Christ because you are their lifeline. You are their rescue. You are their first responder. And without you, there is no one. You are the Church of Jesus Christ in task with the greatest mission on the face of the planet. You won't realize how powerful and meaningful that mission is until you slip to the other side and death calls you home. And then it's revealed to you how big of a message and a calling and a purpose that really was. We hear it, we research it, we study it, we preach about it, we learn about it, but we're not going to understand the gravity and the magnitude of it until we get to the other side. And then we're all, I think, going to say, wow, it's even bigger than I ever imagined. Because the only thing that matters is loving one another and reaching them for Jesus Christ. When we get to the other side, our jobs, our families, all those things come secondary to the call of reaching and seeking and saving the lost and loving them. The great in heaven, I believe, is going to be how many people did we reach? How many did we love? How many did we sacrifice for? How many, how many, how many? How many are in heaven today because you went out and gave them a card? How many are in heaven today because you said God loves you and so do I? How many? To understand this, we have to understand something. To understand that love at that magnitude, church, we have to understand something. And this is it. Why does God love like he does? Because that is the absolute nature of God. That is his character. See, there's a big difference. You've heard this before. It's not what he does. It's who he is. He doesn't understand, he doesn't think anything outside of that. He doesn't have the ability because, yeah, he's God, but he doesn't. He's wrapped around loving what he created. If he didn't love what he created, would he be God? Now, I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but, you know, we love our children. But I've seen some parents that don't love their own kids. I read it in the news. It just hurts me. How? Even when we're so bad, God still loved me. That was pretty bad. But he still reached out, and here I am. What would have happened if he would have just given up on me and he didn't chase me down? 1 John 4:8 and 16 tells us that God is love. It's his very nature. It says God is love. 1 John 4:8. God is love. It doesn't say he exhibits loving qualities. It doesn't say he just does something out of duty. It doesn't say he just does, you know, it is his nature and who he is. Genesis 1:27 says that God created mankind in his own image. So here we go. Here's where the rubber meets the road. God is love. That's his nature. That's his essence. That's who he is. Then he creates us. And he instills inside of us the same love. Why? Because the Bible says he created us in his image. So you have inside of you this inherent inside, deep inside, the spiritual deep down inside that gives you this love that you should have for everybody. And then there's this blockage to that sometimes that we know that's sin. And that keeps us from going from where we're at to where God wants us to be. That's the problem, right? Never before was there a more profound statement than God is love. I guess it just goes right to the core of who he is. So therefore, if we're created in his image, it should go right to the core of who you and I are. And if you don't exhibit that core of love, then the Bible says you're still in darkness. So we have to examine ourselves today, church. Is that me? Is that you? If that's God, he created me in his image, that's the very essence I have inside of me. Ooh, it's getting a little deeper. Genesis 1:27 says that God created mankind. That's us, right? Then you flip to 1 John 4:16. It will be behind me. And it says, and so we know and we rely on God's love that he has for us because God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Well, right there tells you where you need to be. Right there in the scripture, church, it tells me where I have to live. I have to love everybody because that's my nature, because God instilled that nature inside of me. If I don't, then I am fighting against God. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I know some people that are just unlovable. Pastor, you don't know. You don't understand. Oh, yes, I do. I've met the same people. Those are just people that were you and I before you and I found Jesus. That's all that is. That's just the unregenerated mind that doesn't understand. But they're lost and void from the love that you have and you enjoy. They don't have it because they don't have it yet. You're in task with that calling to go give that to them. And so what better way is to walk up to somebody and love the unloved and give them something that you have and they don't? That's why God loves. Here's a quote for you. It said, God doesn't just love. He is love. His nature, his essence are love. Love permeates his very being and infuses all his other attributes. Let that just kind of sink in a little bit. Love permeates all God's attributes. Because God's very nature is love, he demonstrates love just as he must demonstrate all of his attributes. He demonstrates love since it is God's essential nature to love. God cannot stop loving because he is love. It's like he doesn't have the ability not to do it. And he put that in me and he put that in you. And sin blocks that. He demonstrates this love by lavishing it on undeserving people who are in rebellion to him. I know people like that. I know people that are undeserving and in rebellion to God. That was me. I was undeserving, but God gave it to me anyways. I was in rebellion to God, but God reached out in love and gave it to me anyways. I was far from him in high school, but he reached out and brought me back. And I fought it, and I wrestled with it, but he came tracking me down anyways. And then I realized how powerful his love for me really was. And that power that he gave me is now dwelling inside of me, and I give to other people. So I don't look at him the same way I looked at him before. I look at him through the eyes of Jesus and how he looked at me before I got on the other side. It's amazing what God does with his love. I don't see it the same way. I don't respond the same way. I don't talk the same way. I don't preach the same way. It's different. I see people without Jesus like Jesus saw me, chasing me down until I responded. Maybe in prayer after physically. Thank God he did. Thank God he chased you down too. God's love is not sappy. Am I allowed to say that in church? Sappy? God's love is not sappy. It's not real sentimental type. It's not romantic feeling. Rather, it's a love of self-sacrifice. As you know, when he sent his son to the cross. He demonstrates the sacrificial love by sending his son to the cross in penalty for my rebellion. 1 John 4:10, a lot of scriptures today says this is the real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son for an atoning sacrifice for my sins. Here's a quote for you. God draws himself to us by forgiving us of our rebellion against him, by sending this Holy Spirit to dwell within us, thereby enabling us to love as he loved. He even powers you to love. He gives you the equipment to love. He gives you the power inside. You don't even have to do that. He gives you something inside of you to go out and do it, and it's called the Holy Spirit. He did this in spite of the fact that I just didn't even deserve it. Experiencing God's love is what distinguishes Christianity and Calvary Church from all other religions. Calvary Church people love. Calvary Church people speak life to other people. We don't look down on other people. We speak life to them because we love them. And why do we love them? Because God loved us first and reached for us, reached for me, right? God's love is personal. Listen to this, church. It has no beginning and no ending. It just is there. When we learn to love him back, we will naturally be inclined to listen and act on his good advice. See, he pours out love waiting for us, and we love him back. There's a connection there, as you won't know. If you're living in Jesus, you know there's a connection there. There's a relationship there. There's a life walk established in love. So you could have your life in Jesus. You could have your walk faithfully walking it, but it doesn't all come together unless you love. That's what brings it all together. You can't overcome without love. Love is the glue. It is the motivator. Why does God love us? Because it's who he is. He doesn't know any different. So I'm going to close up today with 5 practical keys to having a character, an essence of love. I just want to give you those 5 practical things that I've been doing for weeks now. Just 5 practical things having the character of love that we need. And I want to tell you, the first one says, love comes by your willingness to take on the characteristics of God. He placed it inside of you. You've got to take on those characteristics. Don't compare yourself to the love of others, but stay focused on God's attribute of love and his word. See, here's what we do. We say, he loves more than I, or she loves more than I, or she doesn't love as much as I do. And we don't look this way. We look this way. God is the yardstick, not your brother and your sister. Right? Very practical. We have a tendency in life to look to our left and our right at other people and compare ourselves to them. That's not biblical. God says, bring it to heavenward and compare it to my word. He speaks it in the word, and that's what we're comparing it to, right? The attributes of God. Let's mention a couple attributes, and I want you to reflect like I have done during my study this week. Is that me? Here's some attributes of God, and I ask myself, am I doing that? Am I good? God is good. Am I good? Am I just and fair? Attribute of God. Am I, so is that me? Am I just? Am I fair? am I merciful? Is that me? Is that you? Are you merciful? God is. Are you? If the essence of God's love is in you, and it should be, are you merciful to others? Are you gracious? Are we gracious people? Are we holy? Are we doing the right things? Are we obeying his commandments? Are we faithful? Are we faithful with whatever? To his word, to what he's called us to do, to the gifts, talents, callings he's placed in our lives. Are we faithful? Just think about that. Second practical key is love comes by you value the faithfulness that I just mentioned. Many New Testament believers were called faithful. That's important because God's love is faithful, is mine. Or is my love contingent love on other things? Or is it unconditional love like God has for me? Or do I put stipulations on my love that says, if you don't do this, this, and this, I don't love you. Or I don't love you as much. Is that me? Is that you? I hope not. Number three says, love comes by your willingness to be thankful. It's difficult for seeds of unlove to grow in the soil of a thankful heart. Wow. It's tough for the seeds of unlove to germinate in a thankful heart. I'll just let that sink in. Number four says, love comes by your willingness to be friendly. We were not created to do life alone, and much of grace of God comes to us through the people that God places in our lives. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. That's why one of the core values of Calvary Church is we love one another. We're here to do life together. We're family. The last point before I close, number five, practical things to get the character of love in your life. Love comes by, now here's a big one, church. Love comes by your willingness to relinquish always understanding and always being right. See, we have to give up this thing of, I don't understand, and just, okay, that's okay. You just don't understand. We love anyways. I don't understand, Pastor, why she does it. I don't understand why he does it. I don't understand why my marriage, I don't understand. You got to give that up. And then the big one, you've got to give up always being right. Because nothing will hinder your love more than that. Always being right. I know people like that. They have to be right at all costs. Always being right will hinder your character of love in your life. And always trying to figure it out will also hinder it. It's okay, church, sometimes to say, I don't understand, I love you anyhow. I just love you. How could you love me? I don't understand how you could love me. I can because God is love and I have the character of love in my life. See, that's something that a lot of people just don't understand. And that's the key. You give that to somebody, and they will respond, right? I'm going to ask our music team to come to the platform as I wrap up. What a powerful message that we walk out on today. That God is love, and he places that character of love inside of me. If that is the fact and the word is true as we know it, then I have to exhibit those characteristics in everything I do. And when I don't, God holds me accountable for that, right? The Bible says love of God is the foundation of everything. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. Church, love is the most powerful force in the universe. Without love, we got nothing. You can have a life of everything, but if you don't have the essence of love in your life that God had placed there, if you're not exhibiting that, it's there, the Bible says. I created you in the image of me, the Bible says. So therefore, you have the essence of love in you. But if we're hindered from that for whatever reason, we need to figure that out really fast. Die to that, get to loving each other. Bad English, but good preaching. Why? God's just love. I just can see God in heaven grading Pastor Brad on how much I love. Even when the people just really get under my nerves. You know, I play baseball and some of these guys get under my nerves. I love them all. But the language gets to me. It just kind of wears me down. But they are the greatest guys, void of the power of Jesus Christ through love that I have. So I'm going to love them anyways. And I'm going to speak life to them because nobody else is. I ended the service last week on this verse, and I'm going to do it again today as we wind up. And it's in Philippians 4:9. It says, whatever you have learned today at Calvary Church or received or heard from me or seen in me, put this into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So I have just given you some words today on love. The Bible says you've got to leave Calvary Church today and put it into practice. That's my responsibility. I will do that. I commit to you, Lord, I will do this today. I will put into practice more so loving one another. And I'm going to close today on asking for a commitment from all of us here today. Because when we leave here today, we're going to go to lunch, and we're going to go do our thing and go throughout the week. We're going to come into contact with people that we just don't feel like loving. But you're going to remember what happened in this next moment. And your life will be changed when you meet that person that you just don't want to love. And you will not even feel how God feels, because he didn't feel like I feel and you feel. He just loved us anyways. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. All eyes closed. All heads bowed. I'm going to ask you a question today. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand if this is you and your commitment, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed. I want you to think about it, reflect on it. But here's your question today, church. Who would say today that they would accept God's love from heaven and then turn around and live out that love every single day without fail? If that is you and you're going to commit to that, please raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands up all over the congregation. Once you put your hands up, you can put your hands down. Stand with me, church. We're going to pray over those today. And those that didn't raise their hand, we're going to pray over you as well. And we're going to send you out into the mission field of love today to reach people that don't know what you know. And let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you that we came into Calvary Church today, Lord. We thank you that you brought us in a message of love. Lord God, I thank you for those who raised their hand in surrender and sacrifice to go out and love people that don't maybe deserve it, though they don't feel like loving, they don't feel like reaching, but they will be better because you called us to love, because that's your essence and now it's inside of us. And Lord God, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray they come see me after service and I will lead them to the greatest lover of all time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. We're going to go out on a big note here with some fine music. God bless you all. Come back next week as we continue on with Calvary Kids. We at Calvary Church love you. Have a great week.